Welcome back to the third hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show here on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that Odyssey app. It is 509, 40 degrees on this Monday, April 7th, 2025, and I'm happy to have in the studio Jeannie Gelarenzi. She's on the Lackawanna County Executive Committee, GOP Executive Committee.
Correct, yes.
So you guys got a great event coming up.
Well, we do, and you're going to make it even better for us this year.
So.
We are very excited about that, Rob.
I appreciate you guys asking me to MC this event. So looking forward to it because it's a great. I've been to a couple of your events. So we were just speaking of one, you know, when Eric Trump was here before the election, and now it's a much better time for Republicans in Lackawanna County. So let's run with that. With that influence behind us.
Well, let's hope so. And you know, there are a lot of wonderful candidates that we had this year that have come to the fore, and I think that they feel a surge after what transpired in November. We can't believe we're talking about elections again already. You know, it's amazing. You blink, but we have to keep that energy going. And that's going to be hugely important for us to make the gains that I think that we're capable. I think we all think we're capable of making, but it's going to require everybody's efforts. And, you know, the dinners that we hold, we do two events a year. There's the spring dinner and then the fall dinner. The fall dinner is where you and I saw one another with Eric. And the spring dinner gives us an opportunity to bring members of the community together with a number of their elected representatives in local, state, and federal government. And it enables everybody to connect. It also allows candidates running for office to interact with voters and understand what's important to the constituents. So, you know, I think it really provides a marvelous forum for us, for everybody to get together on a community level.
The fall dinner, one of the things I did really like about the event, and it was one of my first events with the Lackawanna County GOP, was the networking, the walking around, mm-hmm. the introducing. I mean, that's how we met. That's how, you know, we first introduced each other, you know, talking to all the other individuals, the people there, and the politicians running, and the great from county to state level to federal people running or have run for office or holding office, all there mingling with conservatives and Republicans from Lackawanna County.
And I would say, too, there were some, you know, you had some Democrats and some independents there, too, I think. And, you know, people think about elections and they always focus on the big, you know, the big ones, you know, the federal elections. And, you know, what really impacts your life more than anything is local, of course. And so we're trying to do a better job of reaching out to the community and letting them know, come and get engaged, you know, work with us. There's so many volunteer opportunities. And, you know, and chances to meet with elected officials who are very accessible to you, you know, so they want to hear from you. You know, Rob Bresnahan has made his way back a number of times. His chief of staff is around. Dave McCormick was in town recently. Chris Chermak has always made himself available. And then, again, you know, you have a lot of people that are going to be running for very small positions and then maybe a little bit larger, you know, when you come to school board, judges of elections, and then, of course, mayor as well.
And we've seen how I talk about it all the time on the show. How important those small races are. There are no small races. I mean, we've seen what damage can be done with our school boards if the wrong group gets in charge of that school board or the wrong group goes in a certain direction of that school board. At least have a voice there. At least be in opposition, even if you're not the majority. But you have to run for these offices. People have to show up. And we've seen, and one of the big things that you just said about the momentum and keep that going. We've seen what complacency is here in Pennsylvania, and it's being used as a model nationwide for Democrats, that Lancaster
yes.
Race that should have easily won, and it was just complacency.
Yes.
They did not turn out. It wasn't there was a better candidate. It wasn't – we didn't have more we had more votes if people showed up. But now you have members like AOC posting that saying, hey, Democrats, this is how you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was simply because – we won the big election. We had the House. We have the Senate. We have the executive branch. People sat back and says, I don't have to go out for this one. I don't have to push for this one. There is, you say, you know, it's already running for Election Day. It's a perpetual cycle now.
It always is. And I think some people, you know, they're living their lives. They're raising their families. They're working hard and trying to find that time, you know, week after week and month after month to volunteer. But it's what's going to make your community better. And it's the only way that we are going to be able to thrive. And I'll tell you, as you look at the races coming up, every race builds to something else. And so as you see these mayoral elections coming up, well, you know what? You want to talk about a spotlight that's going to happen? Rob Bresnahan's going to be up again, and he's a first term. So, you know, bringing the momentum from 2024 into present day now and hoping to ride that through and get the people back out, all those people that were so great working with Trump Force 47, out there working to help Rob Bresnahan, Dave McCormick, and so many others. We need those people to show back up again, you know, and that's, and again, it all goes back to local, but that builds up to those next elections, and that 2026 is going to be huge.
Yeah, Michael Whatley, the chairman of the GOP nationwide, he was a guest on the show many times. I was having him on weekly up until the election. And what impressed me and what we discussed a lot was that coordination between the national, the state, the local GOPs, that coordination to where if local saw something going on, they were able to get on the phone with national or state and say, hey, we need help here. And they were flying lawyers in for this whole area. I mean, that morning I was getting calls at 7 o'clock in the morning saying polling places weren't open. You know, what do we do? Here's the number you call. You know, saying it on the air time and time again. Here are the hotlines for anyone to call if your polling place isn't open and such. And they were able to get response there, win those lawsuits on the ground that day before, you know, it got into a bigger problem.
Well, you know, I was at a polling place where they had 8 different precincts there. So it was pretty substantial. And the individual that was in charge there, I saw a whole bunch of people when I first walked in, and they were sitting at a table in a corner. And I said, well, what's going on? Wait a minute. You guys look familiar. Well, they were all there to, you know, to just watch, be election observers. And they were told that they had to sit in a corner and they couldn't go anywhere near the tables. Well, I just picked up that phone and dialed that phone number, and it didn't take very long for people to get back to them. And you don't want to fight. You don't want an argument. Everybody wants to participate.
Free and fair election.
Exactly. That's all we were looking for. Nobody was looking to get in the way and impede anybody's ability to vote and to keep the process going. It was a very busy day, of course. Record numbers turning out. So thank goodness that there was that coordination. But again, not having that heavy spotlight right now, because we're looking at local and municipal elections. We're trying to get the word out to everybody. We really need your time. Anything that you can devote, whether it's door knocking for people, making phone calls, sending letters, sending emails, and showing up at the events. You know, there's a lot of things that are going to be going on over the course of the next number of months where you can support the local candidates.
And again, we're speaking to Jeannie Gelorenzi. She's executive committee member on the Lackawanna County GOP. So we have this event April 24th, Thursday.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Well, so as I said, you know, we're going to have a number of elected individuals attending. We have Dave Sunday, Tim DeFore, Chris Chermak, and a number of others that are invited. Sometimes their schedules, you know, change by the day. So, you know, hopefully we're going to have, you know, some of the others that have been invited. It's on the website, LackawannaGOP.org. And we're also, I think it's important to note that we are honoring a great gentleman, Ernie Preate, who I'm sure you know well. He's a longstanding member of the Northeast PA legal community. He went to Scranton Prep, graduated from University of Pennsylvania with an undergrad, an econ, and a law degree. He enlisted in the Marine Corps, was awarded 5 medals for combat service. You know, prosecutor, DA for Lackawanna County, elected PA State Attorney General. I mean, you know, numerous awards. You know, the list goes on and on. You know, you kind of feel a little small when you have all those things that you list for somebody. You think, I wonder what I've done over the course of the past 5-10 years. But, you know, he's an amazing guy, and he currently runs a successful law practice in the area and continues to tirelessly advocate for the imprisoned population as well.
Yeah, when I heard Ernie was being honored, that was one of the things that really drew me. You know, it was a quick yes that I'd be interested in emceeing this event. You know, with his work with corrections, with law enforcement, his legal work that he's done, his service in the Marine Corps. You know, having 2 active duty military children myself, one being a Marine when she graduates next month, it was a no brainer that's someone I was honored to honor at this event, and I think it's a great magnet for people who would be interested in coming to an event like this, even if they'd never come, because there are tickets available. People can sign up and come to this, correct?
Yes. We have tickets available on LackawannaGOP.org. You can buy them there. You can also look to see what the sponsorship levels are. If you even, anybody out there that's listening, if you want to, you know, put a word of congratulations in for Ernie, there are opportunities to buy pages in the program as well. So we really hope that we can have a packed house for him, because I think he deserves it. He's worked so hard. done so many things for the community, you know, has two very successful daughters as well. One's in the administration currently, as you know, Alexandra, and then Liz down in Philadelphia, you know, who's had a very successful career as well. So,
and this is going to be where?
This is at Glenmora Country Club on April the 24th. Doors open at 5, cocktail hour there, and then dinner will get hopefully started promptly at 6 p.m. That's the goal. And we're really excited. It's a new venue for us. We haven't had an event at Glenmora in a number of years, so we're glad to be there. And I think it'll really be a lovely evening.
And give us the website again so people can get involved more with this event and other events that you guys have.
So it's LackawannaGOP.org. And, you know, you can see opportunities not only for this event, but we will be announcing other events that are coming up over the course of the year, volunteer opportunities, et cetera. And so we're going to be revamping our social media as well as the website. So I think you're going to see a lot more vibrant engagement with the community. And, you know, that's the only way we can move the ball forward as far as I can see. So we are definitely focused on that outreach right now.
And with the primaries coming up, you obviously need volunteers for such, poll watchers and everything else.
Right? Greeters, poll watchers, poll workers. You know, if you want to call downtown to the elections office, you know, they're always looking for people to fill some positions when others aren't available that maybe are typically there. You can be a greeter and help advocate for some of the candidates that we have running. And so, you know, as well as other activities that we'll have throughout the course of the year. So please go to the website and look to see how you can get involved.
And they can use you guys as a thoroughfare to get involved with candidates they like, GOP candidates. If they
Absolutely.
Say, hey, can you connect us with this campaign or that campaign, you guys can definitely be a thoroughfare for that to help that happen.
Well, yeah, and we have people that will be running for school board, for Scranton City Council, for mayor, et cetera. So, you know, there's a lot of people that can use the help. And, you know, these are really, I mean, these are kind of bare bones types of campaigns typically. You know, you're not looking at... you're not looking at people that have huge teams of folks working with them like you do with some of the federal elections. So any volunteer help we can get is greatly appreciated by all the candidates.
Our school boards, our town councils, our city councils, our small mayors, you know, the unsung heroes of politics that really don't get that you know, big headline, but they're just as important on the lower on our scale down here.
And if you look at, you know, you're looking up and down the street and you're complaining about what's going on, well, instead of sitting there complaining and screaming whether they're calling you and telling you what they think about what's going on, it's sure that's important, but it's much more important also show up for that primary. May the 20th. You know, you can find your precinct information online, and you can also call the county GOP, and we're happy to give you any information you may need as well. You know, there'll be signs for candidates down there, and again, information on how to get involved at any level you'd like to.
And even, like you said, even if you're an independent or Democrat that's not happy with what your party's doing or the direction that it's going in, come get in contact. Come down and speak to some people. Maybe show up to an event and see if it's more to your liking.
Exactly. And I'll say, you know, when you look at some of these races, you know, you're not so much talking about social issues per se. You're really looking at how are people running, you know, these spots? How are they running this city? You know, what does the budget look like? How are the you know, how do the police feel? How does DPW feel? What about the parents, you know, that are going there and saying, what's going on in our schools? Well, the only way that we make changes is if we show up, and it starts with that primary on the 20th.
It does indeed. We're speaking to Jeannie Gelorenzi. She's a Lackawanna County GOP Executive Committee member. And again, they have their spring dinner, awards dinner, on April 24th. And the website again?
LackawannaGOP.org. And you can buy your tickets there.
All right. Jeannie, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell
Show. Rob, thanks
tonight.
So much. It was a pleasure to be here.
We're going to talk about
studio.
This more before the event. We have a couple weeks yet. We're going to try to build up some excitement for it. Not that this is not excitement already, but we're going to get more.
Well, we look forward to it. Thanks again.
Thank you. It's 5:23 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 5:28, 40 degrees on this Monday, April 7th. So we had some history yesterday in hockey. Jake, you're not a big hockey guy, right? But I'm sure you're aware of it. But hockey's
great
not...
Great piece of history.
It was. Alex Ovechkin breaks Wayne Gretzky's NHL career goal record by scoring his 895th goal. Two great things here. There were a couple, but two that really came out for me is, A, Wayne Gretzky was there, made it a point to be there. It wasn't a guarantee. It was most likely going to happen. He made sure he was there. The other thing was, this was an away game for them on Long Island at Islanders home stadium. And that crowd erupted like it was a home Washington Capitals game. It was just an unbelievable sight. It was good. I mean, they kind of had an idea it was going to happen. He was mic'd up and ready for it. The presentation where Wayne Gretzky came down and just talked about it and saying, you know, I hope Alex is there for the next guy that if someone breaks this record. And it's a record that a lot of people didn't think would ever be broken. And it was, and it was time-fitting. And it was hilarious. Not hilarious. It was just fitting when Alex Ovechkin got to his home bar in Washington. As he walked in and the cheers erupted, someone handed him two beers and he two-fisted. He was drinking a Coors Light in the locker room when he got in. You know, switched his jerseys for his trade, so he saved the jersey that he was wearing during this 895th career goal. It was just an unbelievable moment in sports. It just truly was.
Yeah, it certainly was, Rob. And the great thing about sports is when you get these moments when a record is being chased, like I remember back in 2007 when it was Brett Favre, when he was going after Dan Marino's touchdown record. And I still remember, you know, I still remember just when he tied it, but more so when he broke it. And obviously the celebration that erupted afterwards. And then 7 years down the road, of course, Peyton Manning goes and breaks the record. Then Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Tom Brady eventually, so on and so forth. But like you were talking about, what made all of this so great was when you think of Wayne Gretzky, how when he broke Gordie Howe's record in 1999, and Gordy was there, and he made that promise to himself, well, if this record ever gets broken, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to be there for the next one in line. And that was fantastic, whether it was Friday night when Alex Ovechkin, when he tied Wayne Gretzky's record of 894, and then, of course, yesterday with 895. It's been spectacular. And I think I saw something on SportsCenter or on Twitter earlier where this was 21 years to the day that he was drafted number one overall by the Washington Capitals. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. And I believe when Gretzky, when he broke the record, I believe it was against the Islanders as well in 1999. So definitely a lot of full circle moments. And like you talked about, just the class and the sportsmanship that Wayne Gretzky showed. Because you hear it a lot of times, Rob, whether it's the NHL, NFL, MLB, any sport for that matter, where some guys, when they know their record is about to fall, when they know it's about to be broken, some of them get jealous about it. You know, some of them are like, well, yeah, you know, I don't want him to break my record. Yeah. Well,
the rules have changed. You know, there's different techniques now or something like that.
But I mean, to see the class that Wayne Gretzky showed throughout this whole process over the past couple days especially, and like you were saying, and I've followed a good chunk of Alex Ovechkin's career, and I know my sister, matter of fact, she worked for the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins for several years, Jill did, but she said even though that fandom of being a Penguins fan, there was always still a part of her that admired the talent of Alex Ovechkin and was a fan of him. Still to this day, she is. So, I mean, it's like I talked about, those are the moments in sports that you love to see, when you love to see a record get broken, and when the person that held it, how they show class. I mean,
I remember
when, I think it was, Peyton Manning, when he broke Brett Favre's record, I remember how they immediately went to the Jumbotron. It was a home game for Peyton when he was in Denver. Immediately went to the Jumbotron, and there was the video that Brett Favre had recorded a couple weeks in advance when they knew that this was going to happen, and so on down the line. So definitely happy for Ovechkin, and without a doubt, one of the greatest hockey players I've ever seen in my life.
I did see in one of the sports shows that Wayne Gretzky's 894 was the same amount of games as Ovechkin's 195.
Yeah, that the was same
amount. So he broke it with the same amount of games. So, you know, interesting. But again, what also got me was the crowd at the Islanders' home stadium. They truly erupted like it was a home crowd. You know, no nonsense, no.
Good thing it wasn't in Philly.
Long Island. Listen, Islanders fans could be just as rough, but it was great to see that reception and just history in the making. So I'm glad I caught at least the replay of it. But great moments. Let's see who's going to be next. He's still got a little time under his belt. Let's see what number he finally gets to in the end. And then it's going to be that much harder for someone else.
I mean, obviously, at this rate, I'm sure he'll get to 900. I mean, who knows? I know that he's going to be 40 in September. I mean, is it crazy to say maybe he wants to chase 1,000? Who knows? Only time will tell. But again, like I talked about, definitely a great moment that I was able to witness yesterday. So.
Yeah, indeed. It's 5:35 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show, 5:39. Well, you have to chalk this one up to what the hell. That's pretty much just it. There's a proposal. Now, get this. This is just a proposal. American military-based retailers would exclude four hostile nations. Physical storefronts on American military installations owned or controlled by China, Russia, Iran, or North Korea will be banned if a North Carolina congressman proposal comes law. Representative Pat Harrigan also wants to terminate existing contracts with companies untruthful about foreign ownership, require national security review of base retailers with foreign ties, and be sure future retail agreements on military bases have transparency. Right now, Harrigan said in a release, a company owned by the Chinese Communist Party is operating over 80 stores on American military bases. These stores are in a position to collect personal data from our troops, operate with almost no oversight, and answer directly to a hostile foreign government. That's not just reckless, it's a national security threat. My bill closes those loopholes and kicks these companies off our bases for good. Could you imagine right now, the Chinese Communist Party is operating 80 stores on American military bases. Could you imagine the data they're getting? Citing examples, Harrigan said national supplement retailer GNC is 100% owned by China state-run Harbin Pharmaceutical Group. Its deals are exempt from federal contracting standards and ownership disclosure, he said. Harrigan's proposal, also known as House Resolution 2551, stems in part from recent moves on a federal and state level to insulate military installations from foreign adversaries that might buy adjacent land. This is just pure common sense and should be done yesterday. The fact that this is even a conversation is nuts. I mean, GNC, we all know GNC, but it's now owned by Harbin Pharmaceutical Company, which is 100% owned by Chinese state-run. Again, could you imagine the information that they're collecting on members on our military bases? Again, you can file this under what the hell. It's 5:42 here at WILK. Now it's time for 2020 Traffic and Weather Together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio as we wind things down on this Monday, April 7th, 2024. 2025. I was already thinking ahead here at the time. So schools in Virginia have already started to lock away students' cell phones, and they are already seeing success from it. Even the students themselves are saying that they feel more invigorated and refreshed. It was so freeing how a cell phone ban is changing life at a Virginia high school. And they did an interview with a bunch of these students to get their true feelings on the process, the change of habit, the addiction, and how things have been improving since. Greg Cabana, a veteran government teacher, remembers a time where his job as an educator felt secondary to being the phone police. It was absolutely every class period, Cabana told CNN, which wasn't the question of students would have their cell phones out. It was a question of how much would they. This year, however, that's no longer a fighting battle. Wakefield High School in Arlington, Virginia. Not too far from here. Drive through there quite often. Matter of fact, I'm going to be there this weekend. It's part of a pilot program for district that launched in September of 2024, requiring students to put their phones inside a magnetic locking pouch every morning. At the end of the day, they use a specialized box to unlock them. It comes after state Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin issued an executive order last July requiring districts to move towards phone-free education in 2025. In that order, Youngkin wrote, "The move was meant to promote a healthier and more focused educational environment." Now, this didn't come without change. This didn't come without heartache. This didn't come without panic and everything else. There was a rocky start. At first, the days under the new policy, students were hesitant to part with their devices. When I walked into the cafeteria right after we got them, all you could hear is the banging. Everyone was banging their pouches, Lucas Lopez, a junior at Wakefield, said. They're going through this kind of trouble as an extreme. This shows how this dependency has really turned to an addiction, not dissimilar to a drug, the teacher said. And this is true. When I go away to my hunting cabin, it takes a good day or two to stop reaching for that phone. We don't have self-service there. It's a welcome occurrence now. I enjoy the fact that there's no cell phone service. You reach for the phone and you look and it doesn't get updated because there's obviously no service. It takes a while. Your force of habit, that addiction, just kicks in naturally. You'd be amazed at how many times you just reach for your phone that you know it doesn't work, but just out of force of habit of grabbing it and seeing an update, grabbing it and seeing what's going on. If you can avoid that, that's a great thing, but it definitely is an addiction. Between July of 2021 and December 2023, one half of teenagers ages 12 to 17 reported 4 hours or more of daily screen time, according to the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data. I'm positive if you check in, every phone has it, your kid's phone, they're way more than that. I could guarantee you and I are way more than that. I know I am. Wakefield students admit their screen time before the ban was oftentimes much higher, just like I said. Proponents for phone restrictions or bans point to fewer distractions in the classroom after an adjustment period. Students at Wakefield attest that they felt more present and focused on the instruction once this took place. I remember the first day I was sitting in physics, my phone was locked up in my bag and I kept reaching for it. But I couldn't, and the only thing I could do was sit in my computer and listen, junior Alex Eaton said. It was so freeing, he added. Though it's too soon to figure out if the bans have correspond to better academic performance, because it's just not even a year, Cabana says he believes it's undeniable the achievements will be there. It's already clear that students are socializing with their peers in a renewed way. Senior Gabriella Harbour said the ban led to a realization that phones were giving people an excuse to be isolated. People actually talk to each other at lunch now, she said. It's very adorable. They're hanging out like something out of a movie. Interpersonal violence has been a record low, too, with one student saying she hadn't seen a single fight this school year. Phone bans emerge as a rare bipartisan issue as well. While Wakefield is a guinea pig for its district by implementing the pouches, phone-free schools are becoming more common across the country. Besides Virginia, 8 other states have introduced statewide policies that ban or restrict cell phone use in school, and 15 other states, plus the District of Columbia, have introduced statewide legislation to do the same. The policies vary from state to state. Some keep phones away from bell to bell, while others provide exemptions for teacher-approved activities and special education purposes. The issue is a rare instance of bipartisanship where state leaders on both sides of the aisle are using mental health to justify the orders. We know the excessive smartphone use increases anxiety, depression, and now other mental health issues, and we have the power to intervene, California Governor Gavin Newsom, a Democrat, said in an executive order. We have seen the staggering rise in mental illness among young people over the past decade. The culprit is clear: unrestricted access to smartphones and social media. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, a Republican, echoed. They got to work out the kinks, though. Not every educator is on board with the trend. Brandon Cardet Hernandez, a former public school principal and senior education advisor for the New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, believes banning phones is ignoring how integrated they are in the younger generation's lives. We have to teach digital literacy skills, he said. Kids need to know how to use social media. And by an outright ban of smartphones in schools, we are not getting any closer to teaching those skills. I think we should start with the basics like math and reading. It's amazing that this guy was the education advisor to Mayor Bill de Blasio in New York. Failure that was. Let's focus on, you know, science, reading, math, writing. Then we can get to social media literacy. Matter of fact, let them do social media literacy on their own. Cardenas Hernandez also said the most vulnerable and the most under-resourced schools where low-income students rely on school buildings for reliable Wi-Fi are being forgotten in the discussion. Of course, let's put the, you know, most vulnerable and under low-income students suffer because the only place they get reliable Wi-Fi has to be home. Not to mention the $1,000 iPhone they're walking around with, right? Others has pointed out the policy does not address what happens in the case of emergency if the phones are locked away. That's one of my biggest concerns because we have seen time and time again students actually calling 911, letting authorities know where the bad guy or girl is. So that is a concern, but I think the benefit of having students focus on why they're in school outweigh the safety issue. And it takes a lot for me to say that. The Virginia teacher said he understands the concerns but believes the possibility of misinformation running rampant is a hindrance to keeping students safe. Though the kinks are getting figured out at Wakefield, Commander says he's most grateful for the return of a true passion, teaching. Love my job, and now I'm able to do it, and the children are more engaged. That's the word I think we should be taking. Career teacher saying that he's seeing the results in just a few months already. He's seeing the tangible results, and he thinks that we'll be able to see it on paper and documentation and data in no time. The other part of it is those pouches are expensive. But if they're worth it, if there's data that shows, I would like to see test districts maybe in each county, one in each county, or one out of every few school districts in each sector, one in Northeast Pennsylvania. See the data results. If it's successful, make it widespread. Make it permanent. Pennsylvania has already discussed this. Hopefully it takes hold. Hopefully we see the test cases and the success, and we follow successful data rather than this idiot who worked for Mayor de Blasio who thinks we should be teaching social media skills to our students instead of reading, writing, arithmetic, and science. Or making excuses that, yes, the children with the $1,000 iPhone is only can get secure Wi-Fi in schools. So we have to let them be able to do it because they're underrepresented in the social media world. Another shake your head moment. There's always got to be one, though. It's coming up on 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back to close out the show in just a minute. Welcome back. As we close out the Rob O'Donnell Show today, I'm seeing that during the meeting today, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel said he'll eliminate the trade deficit and remove all trade barriers with America immediately, saying this is a huge win, tariffs work. So we'll see more on that and how much that goes moving forward. But some more, like I said, give it time. Give it time and we'll see. It's coming up on 6 o'clock here on WILK News Radio. It's a pleasure being with you today. Thank you for your time. We will be back at it tomorrow, April 8th, Tuesday. Texters coming in. God bless. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow.